Wisconsin. The time now is 9 o'clock, and that is news time from ABC Studios. Sponsored by the Phoenix Center, family fun at its best. There's always something for everyone, including bowling, legendary pizza, and video games.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Election Day 2 weeks from today. Vice President Harris and former President Trump hitting several battleground states. Harris campaigning with former Congresswoman Liz Cheney, a Republican.
In the Detroit suburbs, Cheney reminding voters what Trump did on January 6th.
He watched law enforcement officers be brutally beaten. He watched it. That's a depravity.
And on the issue of reproductive rights, Cheney, a staunch opponent of abortion rights while in Congress, arguing some Republican states have gone too far.
That's ABC's Mary Bruce. Donald Trump in North Carolina saying he found new faith in God after the assassination attempt in Pennsylvania this summer. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is in Israel, his 11th trip to the region since the conflict began in October of 2023. The NTSB is back on the scene of the deadly helicopter crash in Houston, Texas. The chopper slammed into a radio tower and burst into flames on Sunday, killing all four on board. This is ABC News. Some high-profile support for a Texas death row inmate after his execution was put on hold the last minute last week.
When 2-year-old Nikki Curtis died in 2002, doctors and police chalked it up to shaken baby syndrome and blamed her father, Robert Roberson. But celebrity psychologist Dr. Phil McGraw has seen medical records.
This child was an ill baby.
With dozens of medical visits in her short life, he's also interviewed Roberson.
My professional opinion is that this is not a man with malice. This is not someone that hurt this child.
It'll be up to an appeals court, though, to decide whether the case gets another look. Jim Ryan, ABC News, Dallas.
Officials in Cuba now say at least 6 people were killed after Hurricane Oscar hit the island, dealing with massive power outages as well before the storm. Fresh off a huge season for the WNBA, the Players Union is opting out of its collective bargaining agreement. They are looking for better team facilities and better pay. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
You work hard. Making the right choice for lunch isn't hard. The Phoenix Center opens at 11 Monday through Sunday with all your lunchtime favorites. Burgers, salads, terrific appetizers, specialty sandwiches, wraps, and more. Easy in, easy out. The Phoenix Center is the perfect way to break up the day. Can't get away for lunch? Let the team at the Phoenix Center serve you a great meal tonight, including the world-famous Phoenix Center Pizza. Call ahead at 649-7469 for carryout from the Phoenix Center in Richland Center.
Your WRCO Hometown Weather Watch is brought to you by the Schultz Mortgage Team. Call 608-738-8765 and find out how you can buy a house without needing 20% down.
Donald Trump's import sales tax plan would cost the average American family almost $4,000 a year more for everyday necessities, like groceries, school supplies, medications, clothes, gas. $3,900 more added to your cart every year.
Donald Trump plans to impose what is, in effect, a national sales tax. It will mean higher prices on just about every one of your daily needs. A Trump tax on gas. A Trump tax on food.
Instead of a Trump tax hike, we will pass a middle-class tax cut that will benefit more than 100 million Americans.
I will help families by letting you keep more of your hard-earned money.
Learn more at thetrumptax.com. Paid for by voters of these 50 states. Votersofthese50states.com. Voters of these 50 states is responsible for the content of this advertising, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Cardinal Rotar is hiring experienced machine operators who want a better work-life balance. They offer a 3-day work week with no weekends, giving you more free time and flexibility. If you're tired of the typical 5-day schedule, this is your chance. Call 608-588-9880 or stop by their location at 1277 East Hoxie Street in Spring Green to fill out an application in person. Cardinal Rotar is excited to welcome you to their team. Call 608-588-9880 today.
Community First Bank is your bank for business. Our business bankers have the financial know-how to get you on the path to a bright future. From business checking to loans, online banking to treasury services, CFB's business banking solutions create more convenience, save more money, and protect you from fraud. Get more from your business banking relationship. See a business banker at Community First Bank.
Community First Bank is first for you. CFBank.com. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Today's specials are Country and Community from the WRCO studios, sponsored by Richland Family Restaurant.
Welcome to our morning show on WRCO. Today, we are pleased to recognize pharmacy professionals. The Richland Hospital is recognizing Pharmacy Week this week. And we have in the studio Dave Kepler and Maddie Oe, and they are going to be talking about all the things that that they do from their job and their standpoint. So we say, good morning, Dave. I don't know if we've had you on the air before here. Good to have you.
I have been on the air before, but it was quite a while ago.
Long time ago.
Yes.
Okay. Looking at your job, it certainly has changed through the years, hasn't it?
I grew up in the area, went to pharmacy school in Madison and graduated in 05. Have experience in retail pharmacy and hospital pharmacy. Have worked a few different places over the years. Gained good experience. I'm currently the director of pharmacy at the Richland Hospital. Been a great place to work and lots of different and interesting things over the years.
And Maddie, what about you? Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. So I'm from the Madison area, but I do have some extended family out here, so I've got some ties to this region. I went to UW-Madison for pharmacy school, as well as my undergrad, and then I headed out to Seattle for a year because I had matched with Seattle Children's residency program, so got a little bit of hospital experience out there, and then had came back within the last year and been practicing in the community and found that that's kind of my niche and that's what I really love to do.
When you were growing up, is that what you could see yourself doing, being in the healthcare field?
Actually, I've got a weird story. I was 12 or 13 when I decided I wanted to be a pharmacist. We actually did a school project for a career unit. So I picked pharmacy at age 12, and I decided to stick with it.
I'm going to say you're about 1% of kids that probably
yes.
back then decided and they became that profession. So, yeah.
Yes.
That's very interesting. Out of curiosity, how long does it take to get through pharmacy school these days?
Sure. So it does require a doctorate, which is different from years past. Before it was a bachelor's degree, but now you require a bachelor's degree. So I have a bachelor's of science in pharmaceutical sciences, and then you go to 4 years of graduate school after that. So it's typically an 8-year track. And then you get your doctorate of pharmacy. And then after that, if you want to go further, there are options for residency.
That is incredible. I would think pharmacists have to have good memories, Dave. Is that the case? Do you think you've got a good memory?
For some things. Yeah. Lots of certainly in school, a lot of memorization on different things. But yeah, we've got lots of different resources that we can rely on, but our brain's a primary thing that we use. Memory's not quite what it used to be.
How many members of the pharmacy team are there at the Richland Hospital?
We have 15 employees at the Richland Hospital, so not all are pharmacists. We've got I'm probably going to miss a few here. I think 7 pharmacists on staff, and then 8 pharmacists and 7 technicians, I believe. So, the pharmacy technician training is a little different than a pharmacist. Pharmacy technicians, their role in the pharmacy is to, assist patients, assist the pharmacist, help with more technical functions and preparing medication, so they're critical to the operation of the pharmacy, whether it's in a community retail setting or in a hospital setting. They're in all of those locations and fundamental to what we do. Their training can vary. many are trained on the job, but there are options for folks to go and get trained at a technical school and to learn more about the trade and the profession. There's certification options for pharmacy technicians, so that's often done, you know, after somebody's worked in a pharmacy for a while, just to kind of elevate their practice, learn more about their field, and get a certification to kind of demonstrate that competence. So, as I said, technicians are crucial to what the pharmacies do day to day.
They carry out lots of times the prescriptions then and things like that.
Yeah. From inputting, you know, in a retail setting, processing the prescriptions and, you know, typing up a label on the prescription, selecting the medication, you know, and counting it out, making sure that we've got the right thing in the right bottle. Everybody is working together to make sure those things happen. But, you know, really we couldn't do it in the pharmacy without that dedicated role.
Could you talk about a typical day, Maddie, when you go to work, or is there a typical day?
Sure. I can talk about what a typical day in the community setting looks like, because that's what I've been primarily doing the last year. As a pharmacist, I'm checking medications for one thing. So like we said, our techs are super important to our jobs. I couldn't do it without them. They're often getting things prepared and ready, but then it shows up on my desk to do the final check. When I'm looking at it, I'm making sure that it is the correct drug in the correct dose, the correct patient and second identifiers to make sure there are no mix-ups. I'm then checking the drug to make sure it is appropriate for whatever indication or usage it has. I'm looking at possible side effects that I might want to inform the patient of. I look at the patient's medication profile to see if there are any interactions I need to make them aware of. And I just do an overall quality check of the product. Beyond that, though, I'm often on the phone with doctors and providers. We have a lot of collaborative decision making when it comes to questions about what medication the patient could be taking or what is on their drug formulary plan. So working with insurance offices, working with the provider's offices, kind of being the middleman of trying to get the patient the correct drug at an affordable price or the best we can do. Then I also give a lot of vaccines. That's something in the future we're going to hopefully be doing. Also, it's just projects here and there, trying to help the community with medications in blister packs or little pill boxes we set up, a lot of education. It can really vary. There's a lot of jobs that I do on a day-to-day.
Yeah, those pill boxes are really important, because not only for, you know, I guess we first of all think about it for the elderly, but even for us, sometimes you're like, did I take that today? I can't remember. So those are perfect, aren't they?
They are. And even as a pharmacist, sometimes I'm like, man, I am not the greatest patient, because I can falter myself missing a dose. So those pill boxes can be really helpful for a lot of folks, of just keeping yourself accountable.
We've all seen the ads on TV for the drugs on TV and all the side effects there. So Dave, you guys have to be aware all the time, I'm guessing, of possible side effects or interactions with other drugs too, don't you?
For sure. Yeah, that's key. As Maddie explained, a key part of our job is assessing interactions and make sure we've got the right drug for the right indication and the right use. On a retail setting where you're getting your prescription filled and you're getting a bottle of pills or in a blister pack, that sort of thing. But then on the hospital side, kind of behind the scenes, something that people don't have a great understanding of that. You know, 2/3 of pharmacists work in a retail or a community setting. So that leaves a 33% of pharmacists that do other things. And of that, that's broken down into maybe hospital-based practice, pharmacists working in research or academia or industry, pharmacists working in a clinic setting, like in a physician clinic, providing assistance to patients and providers alike to manage sort of focused disease states often, hypertension or heart failure. But, you know, for us at the hospital, we stay busy, you know, managing medication use for our inpatients, patients that are coming in for surgery, medications that are used throughout the clinics and the rural clinics as well, and then the infusion center, a lot of medication use in the infusion center and chemotherapy administration. So pharmacy's involved in all of that, looking at, appropriate dosing and interactions and side effects and all of that. So additionally, on the hospital side, one of the things that we do is try to gather information about what patients are using for medications at home. So we'll do a focused interview for patients to assess the medications that they're taking. Patients are seeing a lot of different providers sometimes and getting prescriptions from lots of different providers. And so making sure that we've got all of that documented correctly and accurately. Medications get added, medications get stopped. Patients maybe are taking medications differently because of side effects or a variety of things. So, we'll do that sort of best effort medication history and provide that to the physicians, working with the patients so that we've got a record of, kind of where to start from, and then we can make changes from there. And then, along with the retail side, we're doing a lot of patient education too, to try and teach patients how to best use their medications, teach about side effects, things to watch out for.
During the pandemic, you really got an education, didn't you? Because I think things were changing almost weekly, weren't they, in terms of what was working and what you should do?
Yeah, for sure. I think that went on for a long, COVID went on for a long time, and there was a period in time where we didn't have a lot of information to go on, and there was a lot of information sharing amongst professionals, amongst pharmacists from different facilities, and then amongst professionals at the Richland Hospital and other facilities as well. I think, highlighting just all the great pharmacists in our community. We're blessed to have, really great pharmacists, really great pharmacy services in our community. Everybody worked closely together, during that period.
It was a learning experience, wasn't it?
For sure,
Everybody, absolutely. It's interesting, Maddie, as you look at all of us, like all of our bodies are different. Like some people react differently to things. Maybe you have to be aware of allergies and all kinds of things, don't you?
Sure, yeah. I know there are a lot of patients that can get frustrated with a medication not working to the level that they expected. So one of the jobs that I do is really trying to educate and talk with the doctor to figure out other options, because like you said, everybody's body is a bit different. Everybody's metabolism, their drug metabolism is a bit different. And there are unknown reasons why some folks respond better to one medication than the other. So that is a big part of my job, is advocating for my patients when something isn't working as well as they had hoped, and helping them have that conversation with their doctor and try to mitigate the adverse effects or whatever's going on and find a solution.
But you have to be aware all the time because, as Dave mentioned, maybe different prescriptions are coming in from different providers or whatever. But I'm guessing you get red flags now and then, like, wait a minute, this isn't going to work.
Sure. Yes. No, we have excellent computer systems that flag things for us and draw attention to it. The issue, though, that I find is sometimes when patients fill medications at a variety of different stores in different places, then they don't have a comprehensive list at one place. So then those computer flags might not show up because we don't have their entire med list if things are getting filled here and there and everywhere. So something I always encourage patients is to kind of stick with a pharmacy that they're comfortable with and have their entire list filled there so the pharmacist can really keep a close eye on everything.
Indeed. If you're buying something online, you're not going to be aware of that, obviously.
Right. Or the over-the-counters, too. Over-the-counters and supplements. I usually like to go out into the aisle when I see someone perusing just to ask questions and offer my guidance and help, because there are supplements that have drug interactions that the public is not aware of. So that is always a good question to bring up, that OTC or supplement up to the counter. We're always happy to help and happy to answer questions. I would encourage that as well.
Dave, for patients in the hospital, lots of times you go right to the room, don't you, and kind of explain things to them, the patients?
Yeah. We are for sure involved in that medication history and information gathering, and then throughout a patient's stay. We're in checking on how maybe a current therapy is working with a patient, and then often at discharge, helping determine that plan for when the patient goes home and helping them be successful in that phase.
Fascinating stuff. We'll keep picking your brains after this time out here. The morning show from WRCO, talking about the pharmacy at the Richland Hospital and the pharmacy professionals as we honor them during this week.
A lot can happen in 25 years, especially in the swamps of Washington, D.C. When we first elected her, Tammy Baldwin focused on Wisconsin. But Baldwin changed. Today, she rakes in campaign cash from left-wing groups and does their bidding. Baldwin supports forcing women's domestic violence shelters in Wisconsin to admit biological men, making survivors of domestic violence sleep in the same building as men. She supported puberty blockers and sex change surgeries for minor children in Wisconsin. Baldwin even voted to send stimulus checks to criminals in jail, including the Boston Marathon bomber. We thought we knew Tammy Baldwin, but she's changed. Now it's time for us to make a change. Replace Tammy Baldwin. Senate Leadership Fund paid for and is responsible for the content of this advertising, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. www.senateleadershipfund.org.
This is Lynette at the Prescription Center. I am back to talk to you about the new Medicare Part D plans. It is time to review your plan for next year. There have been many changes. Most plans have a beginning deductible. Many also require mail order. Once again, we will help you select a plan which will save you money and allow you to continue to fill your prescription locally. It also may be beneficial to add senior care to your plan. As always, we will guide you through this process at no cost, even if you are not a regular visitor to our store. Stop by and we will find the best option for you. We also have the ability to have all your prescriptions filled on the same day, although I must admit we enjoy seeing our friends more often. We also provide monthly medication management, and as with everything else we do, there is no cost to you. We are an approved provider for Medicare. You are able to obtain your supplies locally at no cost and not depend on mail order. The Richland Family Prescription Center, where you and your family always come first.
The Medicare annual enrollment period has begun. By now, you should have received your 2025 annual notice of change from your insurance provider. It can be overwhelming to understand all the upcoming changes on your own, but don't worry. Local licensed agents Robin McCauley and John Johnson are here to help. They each represent three of the top Medicare carriers in our area. Call Robin at 608-332-4454 or John at 608-332-0067 to schedule a personal appointment today. That's Robin at 608-332-4454 or John at 608-332-0067.
Cruise to Oakwood Fruit Farm for great-tasting Honeycrisp, Macintosh, Cortland, and all the cooking and eating varieties of apples you love. Enjoy great-tasting fresh cider, caramel apples, fresh bakery items, fresh cranberries, pumpkin, squash, and everyone's favorite apple cider donuts. Discount Tuesdays, get 10% off apples. 9 to 5, they're open 7 days a week at Oakwood Fruit Farm, south of Ithaca, on Apple Ridge Road. Just follow the signs.
Oakwood Fruit Farms, that's the one for family fun. Oakwood Fruit Farms, that's the one for family.
It's time for another WRCO History Moment, looking back on 75 years of broadcasting. Sponsored by Jones Chevrolet, Richland County Bank, and Walsh's Ace. Many memorable sporting events have been heard on the radio station over the years, including one of the greatest baseball games of all time.
All 1-0 strikes the count on Joe Adcock. The winning run on second base in the last half of the 13th inning. Into the stretch. Here is the pitch. A swing and a high fly ball. Driven deep into right center field. Going back towards the wall. Back. And it's a home run for Joe Adcock. And the ball game is over. Joe Adcock is going back around the bases. Evidently, Aaron missed third base. Aaron went back to tag third. He comes across the plate now. Here comes Joe Adcock from second base. He went back and tagged the bases. And that's it, a tremendous home run by Joe Adcock over the right center field wall. And it breaks up one of the greatest pitching performances, if not the greatest, in the history of baseball. As Harvey Haddix, for 12 innings, was perfect, facing only 36 batters. And he is beaten on just one hit.
This WRCO History Moment has been sponsored by longtime sponsors Jones Chevrolet, Richland County Bank, and Walsh's Ace.
Hi, I'm Joan Balwig. As a mom, grandma, and small business owner, I understand how rising costs are affecting Wisconsin families, whether it's groceries, school supplies, or health care. That's why I fought in Madison to put more money in your pocket and support programs that address rising costs. I voted to cut taxes for the middle class. I fought to provide more health care coverage for postpartum mothers. I worked to address rising child care costs by expanding available tax credits and by creating new child care slots. And I fought to improve access to mental health care and suicide prevention. Because by working together and bringing everyone to the table, we can put more money in your pockets and support programs that reduce costs, improve outcomes, and make life more affordable again. I'm Joan Balwig. I'm a bipartisan consensus builder. I'm running for state senate, and I'd be honored to earn your vote this November. Paid for by the committee to elect Joan Balwig.
Sports is about overcoming obstacles. This is Ernie Johnson Jr., and those are the stories I love to tell in the broadcast booth. But the courage of college athletes is more than matched by another group of young men. The boys fighting Duchenne muscular dystrophy. It's the most prolific genetic killer diagnosed in childhood. And there's no cure. But college football coaches are doing something about it. And you can help. It's called Coach to Cure MD. Text the word CURE to 501501 to donate $25 on your next mobile phone bill. Or go online at coachtocuremd.org. Text the word CURE to 501501 today. Help college football coaches cure MD. You'll be proud you did.
Sponsored by the American Football Coaches Association. Texting and data rates may apply.
On our morning show today from WRCO, we are here with a couple of the pharmacy professionals from the Richland Hospital. Dave Kepler and Maddie O'A are talking about some things that they do in their everyday work and career. Maddie, one of the things we wanted to talk about was insurance. That's probably the biggie, you know, when we're talking about prescriptions and affordability and all that, isn't it?
Oh, yes. Very hot topic. It is a very tricky one to navigate, but luckily pharmacists can help patients out with that. I guess I could kind of give just a broad overview of what we do and what that looks like. Insurance companies, they have something called a formulary, which is basically a list of drugs, and some are preferred and some are not preferred. When a doctor prescribes a medication, they might not have the specific patient's formulary memorized. So then it's kind of our job to help the patient mitigate the situation. So let's say it is a medication that is not preferred, often would have a really crazy high expense. So something we can do is facilitate a prior authorization, which is just a big stack of paperwork between us and the doctor's office to try to get something covered. Another option, if something has an expensive copay, for example, it is a brand name medication and there are generics available, or there's an alternative that does a comparable job in the body but maybe has a little lesser costs, we can have those conversations with the patient and the provider and try to find something that works. Definitely a hot topic, definitely something that we are not the complete experts, but we do our absolute best to try to get patients the best deals we can.
So the generic or the brand name, mm-hmm. I guess, so to speak. Is there any difference?
Oh, that's a good question. So often it's the exact same active ingredient. So the drug is an active chemical. But how something is branded can be different. Let's just take a over-the-counter of Tylenol. We know Tylenol, that is a brand name, but the active ingredient in Tylenol is acetaminophen. And you can buy acetaminophen just as a generic option, which has the same active ingredient. So they are interchangeable at that point.
I see. Sometimes you guys probably take the brunt of somebody like, what, you know, the cost. You know, I know you don't intend that, but you're really trying to search for them to try to find the best deal. And that's probably hard to do sometimes, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah. Yeah, I get yelled at a bit as a pharmacist, and I understand that folks are so frustrated, and what the core of that frustration is just wanting them to be well and be healthy. And so I do my best to help. But yes, I do not have control myself over what the insurance covers, which I think is a misconception that the pharmacist is in charge. I'm not in charge of what the insurance will cover and what it will not, but I can kind of act as the advocate or the middleman and help make the situation the best we can.
Indeed. And then certainly, again, trying to find the right thing for the right person, you know, that maybe this isn't working as well. You're trying to find maybe something better that will work with them.
Then. Yes, and that is always a group decision between the patient, the pharmacist, the doctor. It's what we call collaborative care. It's all of us working together to figure out our best options.
We're getting into cold season. Is there something over the counter that actually will ward off a cold? Because I know there are several, and I myself have been like, oh, I've got a little sniffle. I better take. Does that actually work, or is that more of a placebo, Dave?
That's a good question. I can't think of anything that would be successful at warding off the cold other than washing your hands. trying to avoid, you know, transmitting. That's going to be, you know, much more effective to avoid transmitting those illnesses, viral, those commonly viral illnesses that are circulating this time of year.
Vitamins, though, right? Vitamins probably is a good idea.
I think vitamin is certainly generally not harmful. They've done studies to see if, you know, like zinc for one thing as a supplement, can that prevent colds? I think the research is mixed on if it can or not. So I don't think there's any clear fix for that.
We wanted to talk about antibiotics a little bit as well here as we get into the fall season.
Yeah. One thing that pharmacists are pretty involved in on a hospital side or a retail side, kind of in all settings, just because that all antibiotics are medications, is the concept of antibiotic stewardship. Managing that resource effectively. So, differently from some medications, antibiotic use and overuse can predispose or cause concerns about antibiotic resistance amongst bacteria. So, there's a focus to try to use antibiotics only when they're going to be beneficial. For instance, using an antibiotic for a viral infection, there's some viral infections where we use antivirals, but an antibiotic like amoxicillin or penicillin is just not going to have an impact on the common cold, for a simple self-limited viral illness. I think in all settings, pharmacists are looking at antibiotics as well as other medications, just to be sure that it's being used for an appropriate indication. Trying to manage side effects. Antibiotics have side effects as well. Just to try to use that appropriately, use that for the correct duration of therapy. Always advising patients to complete their course of antibiotics rather than to take it for a couple of days and then when they're feeling better, not use the rest of it. So that can predispose to antibiotic resistance too. So especially if you're taking it inconsistently, taking it, you know, for a day here and skipping a day and then taking it again.
And we have the drug take-back days, too, a couple of times in the community a year. Those are important, too, for unused medications.
Yeah, for sure. So I think that's, I believe that's this weekend at the Sheriff's Department is doing a drug take-back day. So, yeah, this weekend an opportunity to go through and gather up medications that you're no longer using and dispose of them safely and appropriately and avoid them from going into the landfill and getting into our water supply.
And Maddie, right now, vaccinations, flu shots are available, I'm guessing?
Not currently. I believe our clinic is providing those, not in the pharmacy setting.
Not in the pharmacy.
Yet.
Okay.
Yeah, so the hospital has flu and COVID vaccine clinics now that you can make an appointment for. So those are ongoing now. As many know, I'm sure many know, the hospital's in the process of opening up our own retail pharmacy. We don't have a date for that yet, but we anticipate being able to offer vaccines in that when that's open. We're hopeful that we'll have our retail pharmacy open by the end of the year. More info to come on that. Watch our website and Facebook for more information on that. Hopefully by the end of the year we'll be open and operating that.
And Maddie, you'll be a big part of that, won't you?
Yes.
Yeah. So. And Maddie will be our Maddie's joined our team and she's going to be our pharmacist in that pharmacy. So
I'm really excited to be connecting with the community out here. It'll be a lot of work and a lot of planning to get it up and running, but I feel like I've got a good team at the hospital. I've been working closely with Dave, so really happy to serve this community soon.
You'll be the face of the franchise then.
Yes.
I'm guessing too, you know, now I know it's into the sign up for Medicare, Medicaid. I'm guessing you have to be real well versed in some of those laws and things and benefits too, don't you?
Yeah, so open enrollment is usually a hot topic over in the community pharmacy, and we cannot necessarily tell you what plan to choose. However, we can guide you to different resources where you can compare plans. One place is the Medicare.gov is actually an online site where you can put in the drugs you take and do a plan comparison. So helping folks get to those resources so they're well educated to make those decisions is something that we often do and are happy to support in that area.
Mm-hmm. What benefits some might be different for another person then too, right?
Yep, it all depends on your family, your medications, and what's right for you. So it's not a one-size-fits-all decision, absolutely not. So everyone kind of needs to do their own research, but we love to assist that process.
Youth apprenticeship. I know we've talked to some other members of the Richland Hospital staff. I know they have the club scrub and all of those things going on. Do you have a youth apprenticeship available in the pharmacy, Dave?
Yeah, we do. We developed that youth apprenticeship program. There's a little bit of history to this, but some laws changed and pharmacy technicians as a profession have to be registered with the state in the state of Wisconsin, and there's some requirements for that registration. It's not a difficult process, but there's just a process where people have to be registered to work in a pharmacy as a pharmacy technician. That's impacted, folks or especially high school students' ability to work in a pharmacy. But this youth apprenticeship program is an option for that. So the program very similar to other professions, nursing and whatnot. This youth apprenticeship would be for a high school student to explore career options and to spend time working in a pharmacy to further explore that that interest. So they'll be in a defined sort of curriculum in the school setting, and then apart from that, they'll have time that they work in a pharmacy. So to complete a youth apprenticeship, I believe it's 450 hours, I think. And so we've recently developed that program at the Richland Hospital and are offering that right now. So if you have, and that, I guess to back up, this is a great option for students, high school students that are interested in pharmacy in general to learn more about it. And that could be whether they're interested in the pharmacy technician profession or pursuing being a pharmacist. So great opportunities to kind of explore the fields through youth apprenticeship while you're in high school. So if that's something you're interested in, I think the local guidance counselors at the schools can assist, and we'd be happy to discuss it at the hospital as well. So
I'm guessing when Dave Kepler was in school at Richland Center, you would have probably jumped at a chance like that, wouldn't you?
You know, I didn't decide pharmacy was something I was pursuing until more into college. But yeah, that would have been, it's a nice program in that it gives some structure to some of that exploration. And so it's a really neat opportunity in that sense. So I think the other neat thing about pharmacy is that once you're in that, you get exposure in the hospital. You're exposed to a lot of different other professions. So you're just exploring. You're kind of seeing what things are like. If it's interesting to you, there's a lot we can show you in pharmacy. So.
What would some of the duties typically be for a youth apprentice?
So a youth apprentice would start out, depending on the setting. You know, I think in a retail setting, they'd be collecting money at the register and finding the prescription and helping coordinate things with the pharmacy technicians and the pharmacist, more as a pharmacy clerk or pharmacy assistant. In a hospital setting, it would be more, we haven't had a youth apprentice yet, but we're working on developing that. We're excited to offer that, and we'll have our first youth apprentice starting soon. I think that our duties are going to be selecting the right medications for restocking in different areas, and we use a lot of technology for that. So there's different systems that people would be trained in, and learning, lots of opportunity to learn about the medications, to learn about the medications. You learn physiology in the body and normal and abnormal physiology. So just lots of different opportunities there.
Another avenue that I guess we haven't discussed, but you help in terms of chemotherapy at the hospital as well, don't you?
Yeah, we prepare kind of behind the scenes often, but we're preparing all the chemotherapy for the Kramer Center, infusions in the Kramer Center, and other treatments that are provided in the Kramer Center as well. So we work closely with those UW Health physicians and the Kramer Center staff to prepare those chemotherapy regimens, which can be quite complex at times, to provide that care, you know, locally to our patients to avoid the travel to Madison when they're ill.
Sometimes you have samples of drugs too, right, that the doctors can prescribe, or do they do that anymore, where they might give out a sample just to try it and then see how it works?
That samples are more often in a physician clinic setting. Mm-hmm. And then on the pharmacy side, sometimes there'll be, from an affordability standpoint, there's not insurance, but copay cards. Often manufacturers might offer that to help with affordability, or patient assistance programs. So pharmacies, as a rule, don't get involved in samples per se. There's actually laws prohibiting that. But on a clinic side, there's sample samples are distributed usually through the clinics.
Maddie, I want to ask you, because you're here, a young person in this profession, but how do you see the future of pharmacy and pharmacists here down the road?
Sure. Thank you for that question, because this is something I do love to talk about. So I think in the future, pharmacists will really be able to practice at the top of their scope, which what that may look like is something called collaborative practice agreements. That is a agreement or a protocol that's developed between a physician and a pharmacist that delegates some of the doctor's duties to manage a certain disease state to the pharmacist. For example, we could just talk about blood pressure. So a doctor or a physician can make a diagnosis of hypertension or high blood pressure. A pharmacist cannot diagnose, but a doctor can. But from there, they can kind of delegate a pharmacist to help with the management of the blood pressure. So I see potentially in the future, a patient being able to come to the pharmacy for an appointment to get their blood pressure measured and monitored. And then the pharmacist could then make dose adjustments with that collaborative practicing agreement in place. So there's definitely opportunity for pharmacists to expand their role, expand their scope, and kind of help the providers who are already stretched thin in the clinic, just so we can make care more accessible to everybody.
Do you see, I know telehealth has become a big thing over the past few years too. Do you see that in the pharmacy industry, maybe visits with people, you know, through the teleconference too?
Possibly. You know, I remember I had some rotations back in school where they had these kind of booths or consultation rooms in some of the pharmacies that just had technology set up and accessible. So there were patients that could come to their pharmacy to then log on to see their doctor virtually. That is something that's available in different places around the state. So I could see maybe it go in that direction as well, just because operating technology is definitely an issue for the older generation. So having a pharmacy or a location where you're able to get assistance in that, I think it's just another wonderful way pharmacists can make healthcare more accessible to the community.
Could you see like a conference room then where you meet with patients and things like that in the future as well?
That's a possibility too, or even kind of like a clinic room in the pharmacy. There's something called provider status, which is being worked on as legislator, where pharmacists could have appointments to do things like, it's called MTM, which is medication therapy management, or CMRs, which is comprehensive medication reviews, where they could actually sit down, hold an appointment with a patient to go through their med list and mitigate any issues. So there's that possibility as well. There's lots of options that could happen here in the future.
Anything that you wanted to say, Dave, about the future?
No, I think Maddie touched on a lot of key things that for the future of pharmacy and really the present day of pharmacy in a lot of places. So I think these things are out there and happening. So even on the hospital side, we're doing a lot of these collaborative or practice agreements currently. So we help, we're assisting providers in dosing anticoagulants, warfarin specifically, for patients that are admitted to the hospital. Little different environment, of course. It's in the hospital in a little more controlled setting than kind of what Maddie's describing, but I think the concept's the same, where we have a protocol that the pharmacist is following, and it's assisting the provider to take care of the patients, take the load off of a provider, allow still excellent care for the patient.
What do you like most about your job, Dave, as director?
The variety, the opportunity to work with all sorts of members of the healthcare team. I sure enjoy working with the team I've got. We've got a great, great team of pharmacists and pharmacy technicians. Just try to, do our very best to help take care of patients and optimize drug therapy and streamline care and make things safe.
And you don't want, preferably you want people to be off the medication as fast as possible if that is, if that's a possibility, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, just to avoid side effects where possible, but you know, there's so many conditions that are really, real, you know, the current care is medical management and medications are often necessary, but that kind of gets back to focusing on patient health and encouraging, you know, healthy living, you know, good diet, exercise, you know, weight loss, those sorts of things too. So pharmacists get involved in those things as well in sort of clinic or retail settings, and just sort of impromptu when patients come and ask their pharmacist for advice. Those discussions happen not infrequently.
Maddie, we'll let you respond as well. What do you like most about your job?
Sure. So I love people. I love serving others. I love getting to make personal connections. And I love being a teacher and an educator. That's probably my favorite part of the job is sitting down with folks and really giving them the education piece that they need.
Are you doing anything special at the hospital? Or are they doing anything special for you this week during Pharmacy Week? You haven't seen the cake yet.
No, that cake's on order.
Okay.
But no, just I think just a lot of thank yous in the halls and just shout outs to the team. So it's been fun. One of our team members, Caitlin Wolf Graham, went down to the UW School of Pharmacy just for some outreach on Friday to kind of highlight the opportunities for students coming out or just coming, you know, growing in the profession, looking at their fourth year clinical rotations, you know, before they graduate as a pharmacist, and trying to interest them into a rural practice. It's a great place to be. And so Caitlin went and represented us to kind of get the word out and let people know what we've got going on.
How many pharmacy schools are they? Are they
kind of? There's three in the state of Wisconsin. So there's UW-Madison, Concordia, and then Medical College of Wisconsin have pharmacy schools now.
Okay. And do they stay pretty busy? I mean, are students getting into that field quite regularly?
Yeah. I mean, I think that enrollment has fluctuated, and I think nationwide, annual enrollment is around 10,000 students. So each year, about 10,000 students graduate. Kind of looking into the future, they're predicting that, you know, we need to replace current, you know, staff exiting the field. We need 14,000. So a substantial shortfall. So I think that it's a growing field. I think in the time that I've been in practice, I've seen the field grow and expand and lots of additional opportunities. And certainly the growth of pharmacy, there's two more pharmacy schools than there were when I graduated. The Concordia and Medical College of Wisconsin didn't exist when I graduated. But I think that there's still ample demand in industry, in the work setting. So it's a good field to go into.
I'm just amazed at what you have to know, though, and the responsibility. And I think that's something that you really relish, though, Maddie.
Yeah, I take my job seriously. I think pharmacists are in a privileged position of being a trusted healthcare professional, a trusted member of the community. So it's something I definitely don't take lightly, and it's something that I am constantly learning and making sure that I'm up to date on everything so I can serve people well.
Trivia question for you. Who's the most famous pharmacist in the movies? The movie character is a pharmacist. Any idea?
I've never seen a pharmacist.
You've never seen a pharmacist in a
movie?
You're getting it.
Yeah, I've got it.
It's an oldie.
Yeah.
I've got it.
It's A Wonderful Life.
It's A Wonderful Life, yeah.
Mr. Gower.
I didn't know his name.
There you go. Yeah. So there is a famous pharmacist in a movie, at least one. So, well, thanks for all you do. We appreciate you guys very much. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Phil.
You bet. And good luck to you. Dave Kepler and Maddie O'A joining us from the Richland Hospital. You can talk to them the next time you're by the Richland Hospital. Dave is director there of the pharmacy and the clinic.
Sorry, but we actually have a wait list for our Monstera.
Shaw's greenhouse is really bringing in the green.
We can't keep snake plants in stock.
She needs a construction manager to build on her roots and grow.
We could add a whole section for ferns. Here we'd have dahlias, dahlias, and more dahlias.
Indeed can help her hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. You can schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from your employer dashboard. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, Amy, make sure that gas tank is topped off.
Why is that?
Elizabeth Grabe wants to ban gas-powered cars, trucks, and even tractors.
That's insane.
That's not all. Extremists like Elizabeth Grabe are trying to eliminate fossil fuels, too.
That would destroy so many jobs, hurt our community, and drive costs even higher for families.
She doesn't care.
We need to keep Elizabeth Grabe out of the assembly.
I'm voting for Todd Novak. He's an independent voice, always working for us.
Paid for by Novak for Assembly.
Cardinal Rotar is hiring experienced machine operators who want a better work-life balance. They offer a 3-day work week with no weekends, giving you more free time and flexibility. If you're tired of the typical 5-day schedule, this is your chance. Call 608-588-9880 or stop by their location at 1277 East Hoxie Street in Spring Green to fill out an application in person. Cardinal Rotar is excited to welcome you to their team. Call 608-588-9880 today.
Liberal politician Kamala Harris wants to take your guns. She says it herself.
We have to have a buyback program, and I support a mandatory buyback program.
Mandatory buybacks? That's Washington speak for taking away your guns. More from Kamala.
Just because you legally possess a gun in your locked home doesn't mean that we're not going to walk into that home and check to see if you're being responsible.
Take Kamala at her word. Democrats will ban guns and take them from your home. And here in Wisconsin, congressional candidate Rebecca Cook is following in Kamala's footsteps. Rebecca Cook called for a ban on the most commonly owned rifle in the U.S. She even earned an F from the NRA. As a political operative, Cook spent the last decade working for defund the police Democrats. She'd defund police and take your guns. It's radical and it's dangerous. Liberal Rebecca Cook. She won't protect you. She won't let you protect your family.
I'm Derek Van Orden, candidate for Congress, and I approve this message.
Paid for by the NRCC and Van Orden for Congress.
Attention auto mechanics. TC Auto Works in Richland Center is continuing to grow, and they need you. They are hiring an automotive technician with 3 years of experience preferred and a strong work history. Enjoy highly competitive pay and a full-service automotive repair facility with a fun, low-stress, family-owned atmosphere. Along with competitive pay, you will be eligible for a large package of benefits including retirement plans, paid vacation, much, much more. Call 383-1700 or pick up an application at TC Autoworks, 1201 Highway 14 East, Richland Center.
Happy fall from Rockwell Automation. This harvest season, we'd like to thank our farmers for everything you do to keep our community strong. On behalf of all of Rockwell, thank you. We look forward to seeing everyone this month at the Trick or Treat Trail in the park. Be sure to stop by the Rockwell booth on October 25th for some delicious treats.
Chances are you're not hearing this ad while topping 100 in your Aston Martin or taking a spin around town in your Rolls Royce. But if you are, then Donald Trump's tax plan is for you. Just ask him.
You're rich as hell. We're going to give you a tax cut?
But if you're hearing this on your way to work or school pickup, if you're heading to the grocery store or wondering how long you can stretch that tank of gas, then your plan is Kamala Harris's plan. She'll make the wealthy and big corporations pay their fair share so she can give the middle class a tax cut, as well as $25,000 for first-time homebuyers, $6,000 for first-time parents, and a $50,000 tax deduction for starting a new business. Because that guy in the Cybertruck that just zoomed by doesn't need another break. But Kamala Harris knows you sure could use one.
Paid for by voters of these 50 states. VotersOfThese50States.com. Voters of these 50 states is responsible for the content of this advertising. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Cardinal Rotar is hiring experienced machine operators who want a better work-life balance. They offer a three-day work week with no weekends, giving you more free time and flexibility. If you're tired of the typical five-day schedule, this is your chance. Call 608-588-9880 or stop by their location at 1277 East Hoxie Street in Spring Green to fill out an application in person. Cardinal Rotar is excited to welcome you to their team. Call 608-588-9880 today.
This is an important announcement for Wisconsinites who plan to vote in the November 2024 election. Leading nonpartisan economists have analyzed the economic plans of Donald Trump and concluded that he would cause inflation to rise and the economy to slow. And 16